Last week we have looked at how God in His wisdom and mercy and compassion sent us His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, who came in the form of a humble servant, condescended Himself to us sinners. And that was a very humble image that the Lord decides to give to us, that our Savior come not as a ruler, but in humility, in lowliness, to condescend Himself to us. And that was what we discovered last Sunday. And this afternoon we see somewhat of a different picture or a different foreshadow of the person of Jesus Christ. Previously, we are given a picture of one who is lowly, humble servant of no significance. But now here in Genesis 16:7, please turn to Genesis 16:7 and keep your Bible open to that chapter. And we are shown here the divine presence, foreshadowing of the incarnation of the Son of God. And this is what we see here from the phrase, the angel of the Lord. The phrase, the angel of the Lord, speaks of one who is to be revered and who is divine. The word angel here denotes the office of a messenger. He is one who is sent to give a message. So this phrase can also be restated as messenger of the Lord. And you would have already noticed, I hope, that the word Lord is in the capital letters, which signify the divine name of God, transliterated into what we call Yahweh or Jehovah. And putting all this meaning together, we can render this phrase as messenger of Yahweh, messenger of Jehovah. And so the context of this passage in Genesis 16, which I'm sure you are very familiar, is about Sarai giving her Egyptian maid to her husband so that the maid can bear a son on her behalf. And inevitably, in this whole transaction, so to speak, we see the strife between husband and wife, between wife and the maid. All this happened because Sarai and Abraham's faith were put to the test. They were tested and they failed. And let us not be quick to point a finger at them, because you must understand that they have been here for 10 years. They have been in this land for 10 years and no sign of the fulfillment of the promise. They thought God has or not able to keep His promise or fulfill His promise. And therefore, right now, after 10 years, their faith somehow wavered and they take things into their own hands. They try to assist God in fulfilling His promise. Well, we are also like Sarai and Abram. Oftentimes when God delays in answering our prayers and our requests, what do? Well, we think we know better. And so we resort to all kinds of way, thinking that we are assisting God, helping God, as it were, He needs our help to fulfill His promises in our lives. And of course, you know, the result is oftentimes many sorrows, many pains, many heartaches. Isn't it? So from this passage, first of all, we glean a couple of observations here. And first of all, from the phrase in verse 7, the angel of the Lord, the first observation we can gather here is the foreshadowing of the incarnate Christ. Verse 7 is the first mention of an angel of the Lord in the whole of Scripture. This is the first appearance of this phrase, the angel of the Lord. And it is to be understood not of created angel, but of a divine person, as also we see in Genesis 16:10, the uncreated angels, the Logos. Logos is the Greek word for the Word, or the Son of God, also called the angel of God's appearance in Isaiah 63 verse 9. And this angel of the Lord is also called the angel of covenant in Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. The angel of the Lord often appeared in a human form before his incarnation. And he is sent by God the Father on a number of accounts. And hence he is called an angel, a messenger. And we know by now from Scripture that in the fullness of time, this angel of the Lord was sent in human nature to be the Redeemer of his people. But you may ask, how do you know, or how can we know that the angel of the Lord here mentioned is the foreshadowing of the incarnate Christ? Well, some of the answers are in this passage, others are in other parts of Scripture. In fact, if you look at verse 1, which reads, "The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur." The detailed description of the location where Haggai was found speaks of a person having a foreknowledge of what had happened to Haggai and where she was. It was no coincidence that she came to meet this angel of the Lord at this point, at this time, in this particular place. The word "found" in the original, the Hebrew, denotes to meet, to encounter, to find out. As it were, this angel of the Lord or this person deliberately make an effort to find out, to look out. And so it gives us an expression of a deliberate effort to look out or to look for. This experience is similar to Jesus who encountered Paul at the Damascus Road. Furthermore, this angel of the Lord personally gave Hagar the instruction which we read in verse 9, and then he also gives the promise in verses 10 to 12. The angel, notice here, did not invoke the name of God when he gives this instruction, like what we read of the angel, what the angel did in Luke chapter 2 verse 10. In Luke chapter 2 verse 10, you see that the angel came to the shepherds and he says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Meaning to say, he is a messenger, he carries that message. He carries that message of tiding. Whereas in Genesis 69 and 10, the instruction and promise comes directly from the angel, the angel of the Lord. He says what? Return. He did not say, "I bring you this message," and the message from the Lord is, "You return." No. He said, "You return. Return. Submit to thyself under." And then in verse 10, he said what? "I will multiply." You see? And so from here, we can deduce and come to a conclusion that this angel of the Lord is not a created angel. He is the person of the foreshadowing of the incarnation of Christ. Moreover, if it is a created angel, he will not accept worship, which we see in Revelation 22 verses 8 to 9. If the angel here is not the person of Jesus Christ, and then that angel will not or will accept worship. But you see in Revelation 22, 8 and 9, John say what? And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then what happened? Then the angel said to him, see thou do it not. See thou do it not. Why? For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophet, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. You see, the angel does not accept worship when worship was rendered to the angel. But here we see in Hagar that she rendered worship to God and acknowledged God in verse 13. And the angel of the Lord received or accepted her worship. In verse 13, we are told, she says, thou God seest me. She acknowledged God and she worshipped the Lord. She knows who this person is. And so we thank God that in this passage we have discovered that God had in mind from the beginning to save sinners, to bring us back to himself. And this is a foreshadow of what is to come. And this is a picture of Christ coming to save sinners, just as not now Christ coming to save Hagar. We observe here that God was pleased to unfold his plan to us through the foreshadowing of his Son, who was portrayed here as the angel of the Lord to deliver Hagar. And this also gives us a picture, as I said, of Christ coming to us, the helpless sinners, just as Hagar here is so helpless. It is God's divine purpose to give unto the saints of old a glimpse of his Son Jesus Christ, and to point them to that hope of their redemption, which was fulfilled in the New Testament. As for us, the New Testament saints, it is to give us a confirmation. A confirmation that God is faithful. Faithful to all his promises made to his people in days gone by. And he will continue to fulfill his promises till the day of the Lord. You and I can be assured of that. You and I can rest upon this assurance that God will fulfill, just as he has fulfilled what he told or promised Hagar. The second observation we can glean from this phrase, the angel of the Lord, is the proof. The proof that our Lord Jesus is with God the Father right from the beginning. From the dialogue that the angel of the Lord had with Hagar, we can see that the eternal Son of God was and is with God the Father right from the beginning. The angel of the Lord was not a created angel, as I said. He existed right from the beginning. He dwells in the heaven with God, and he is in God. The Apostle John gives us the most sublime statement of that beautiful, that wonderful and perfect union between God the Father and God the Son in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, which I'm sure most of you can recite. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and what? And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Furthermore, Jesus himself declares in John chapter 10 verse 30, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. And of course, if you continue to read on in John 10:31, that is why the Jews, upon hearing this, were very, very angry. They understood Old Testament scripture. When Jesus said, I and my Father are one, they realized that Jesus is saying that he is God. And so they thought that this man, this carpenter, is blaspheming God, and therefore they want to stone him, because the Jews realize what he is talking about when he made that statement. To leave no stone unturned, the Lord Jesus is not only with God the Father right from the beginning, and that he is truly the Son of God who was sent into the world to save sinners. The Lord Jesus in his high priestly prayer prayed this in John 17 verses 21 to 23. I read to you. Jesus prayed this, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, and then repeated again here, as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, and they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What a beautiful prayer that the Lord prayed. And indeed, I just want to bring this out to you to encourage all of us that we should all rejoice and praise the Lord that the Son of God, or rather the Son of Man, is truly the Son of God. Our Lord, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, is both fully God and fully man. And therefore, because of his twofold nature, who existed right from the beginning, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, therefore our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is able to save us, because he is able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, because he is God. And therefore, you and I can fully put our trust in this God. A God who is fully man. He is not high up there, not knowing what we are going through. And yet, he is without sin when he was in this world, living 3.5 years of his life. He knows exactly what you are going through. And he not only sympathize with us, he can empathize with us. So be assured that our Lord Jesus is not only able to save, but to save us to the very end. The third observation we can glean from verse 7 is this. The angel of the Lord found us. Hagar is an example of the call of Gentiles in the expectation of death under the gospel. And that is a beautiful picture. And so the Jews cannot claim exclusive right, so to speak, to the salvation that God has given to them, to the whole world. It is not only given to them, but here again, it is a foreshadow of that gospel which will be extended to you and to me. And therefore, I say that the angel of the Lord has found us. We are like Hagar, seeking for shelter, seeking for help. We are crying out. We are seeking for relief, isn't it not? Like her, we live under the dark cloud of gloom and doom, isn't it? And we are also in the way to Sheol. Do you know the word Sheol there means it is to Egypt? Actually, she wanted, and you know that she is an Egyptian, and so she wanted to go back to her homeland. She thought that that is the safe place for her. Go back to her family members. But no, Egypt signifies what? Egypt signifies bondage of sin. Egypt does not signify deliverance. So the word there on the way, or the way to Sheol, shows us that Hagar thought that she can go back. But she is actually going back to the way of destruction. And we are like that too. We run to the wrong direction. We go to the wrong place to find help and relief. We go back to the world. We drown our sorrow. Through what? Through drinks, through drugs, through friends, through all these pleasures and all this free sex and lust. to numb our senses, as it were, thinking that by doing so, we will rid ourselves of all this sorrow, pain, and troubles, and thinking that we can find relief. No. All these where we are turning to will eventually lead us to the way of Sheol, the way of destruction. The only way out. That's why the Lord Jesus come to her in verse 9 and say what? Return. You see, notice here, in fact in verse 8, you notice how the Lord addressed her? The Lord did not say, Hagar, whence comest thou? She pointed out to her, what? Hagar, Sarai's maid. God is showing to her right now that you are what you are. You are a bond servant. You cannot escape. You cannot run away from your responsibility. And so therefore the Lord is humbling her to help her realize that she is a bond servant. Sarai's maid. You see, hence in this passage we see that the angel of the Lord found Hagar, encountered her. The same manner Christ comes to us at one point in our lives to encounter us, isn't it? To meet with us. And also the Lord meet us at one point of our lives and ask, whence comest thou? The Lord is asking us, when comest thou? And whither will you go? Where will you go? Where will you go? And so Hagar was found of the Lord. And each of us here, I trust that you are also found of the Lord. We who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need not go back and drown ourselves by the way of Sheol, the way of destruction. There is a way of escape for us. And here the Lord gives that hope to Hagar. And so the Lord is giving us this hope. The Lord came to us to deliver us from our sin. And each day He comes to us again afresh and says to us with the words of Jeremiah. The words of Jeremiah ring so true in our ears, isn't it? Jeremiah says this, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I know many of us are going through difficult times with all this pain in the body, all these illnesses and sicknesses. And again, suddenly we receive a news about our missionary who is right now in great pain. I know we are going through a lot of trouble. And here you see in Hagar, the Lord, Hagar says to the Lord, Thou God seest me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? In verse 13. What this verse is telling us is that Hagar came to realize that Jehovah, the angel of the Lord, the Lord God Himself, not only saw her troubles and distress, but God looks upon her heart and knew her, and knew of her sorrow and her pain and her distress, and also knew of her true repentance. And therefore, after that, promised her exceeding great promises and precious promises. And not only that, we praise and thank God that those promises were indeed fulfilled. Our Lord and our God likewise look upon us in mercy and compassion. We are not consumed, are we? Just as Hagar, or the Lord encountered Hagar, and Hagar was delivered. She was not consumed. when she realized that the angel of the Lord appeared to her, the person of the Son of God appeared to her. She was not consumed by His holiness, but the Lord in mercy looked upon her and delivered her. And likewise, the Lord comes to us each day. Those of us who are in Christ, do you know that the Lord every day, like what the prophet Jeremiah says, they are new every morning. His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever your portion, perhaps your portion right now is pain in the body, sickness. Perhaps your portion right now is failure in business, failure in relationship, failure in this. Or perhaps you are going through a very difficult time because of the deadlines that you have to meet, because of difficult colleagues, difficult classmates, or because of family problems, because of delinquent children. Whatever your portion, the Lord is saying to us, His faithfulness is new every morning. And as He is faithful and took pity upon Hagar and delivered her and blesses her with all the richest blessing in Christ, I want to say to all of us that God in His time will also bless us. And He has indeed pitied us, isn't it? He has looked upon us in mercy and in compassion. And therefore this evening, you and I can come in such a manner to worship Him in quietness, in peace, in security, with freedom. We are not restricted. We are not persecuted. Are we not blessed? Did the Lord not look upon us in mercy? Yes, each of us has our fair share of the trials of this life. But yet the Lord promised us, just as the Lord encountered Hagar, the Lord has encountered you and me at one point in our lives, isn't it? And I trust that today each of us here can say that indeed the Lord has looked upon me. The Lord has found me. And not only that, the Lord continues to give us afresh. Each day He comes to us afresh to tell us that He is there with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So may we, like Hagar, return. Return to the Lord. Submit to Him. Obey the will of the Lord for our lives. And live daily for Him, to glorify Him, to exalt His name, and to promote and advance His kingdom. Let us realize that those promises given to the saints of old, they are all fulfilled. And now, in the New Testament, God continues to fulfill His promises. You can be assured of that. Our Lord Jesus, who is both man, fully man and fully God, He is able to save us till the very end, as He promised. Let us pray. Our mighty God, eternal Heavenly Father, we ask that, Lord, You will once again turn us to Thee. For oftentimes, Lord, we are so dependent upon our own strength. So oftentimes, Lord, when You delay in Your answer to our prayers, we take things into our own hands and we try to assist You in fulfilling Your promises in our lives. Oh, Father, help us not to be foolish, but to be wise. Help us, O Lord, indeed, that we may surrender ourselves to Thee, that we lean not unto the arm of flesh, but that, Lord, we will lean to the everlasting arm, the arm of God. O Father, we pray that You will turn us to You in repentance and help us. Help us, O Lord, to live for Thee. Help us, O Lord, to walk with Thee. Lord, we know that there are those amongst us here who still do not know You, who do not know that Thou art the Son of God, the Son of the true living God, who is the Savior and the Lord. O Father, we pray that Your Spirit will work in the hearts of such a person, that Thou will convict them of their sin,
that thou wilt bring about a conversion in their hearts, and that thou wilt transform them and continue to transform them, that they may be more Christ-like each day. O Lord, that we may all truly know you as our personal Savior and Lord. Help us, we pray, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.